join today. Supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 17th of January. With me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Hi, Paul.
Hiya. Welcome back. That was our mid-show break with a piece of tunage from the wonderful Mr. Eric Clapton. Wonderful tonight, especially picked by Knees for Tracy to celebrate her birthday of a week or so ago.
What a lovely song that is.
It's a fabulous song, isn't it? Yeah, gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I think 2017, Paul, is going to be the year of the Business Award.
Do you?
I do.
Why do you think that, Martin?
There are lots and lots of fantastic business awards initiatives out there at the moment.
Are you telling me I need to buy a new cabinet? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just trying to get another one of my tenuous links into one of our listener emails that have come
in. I'll go for it.
From the lovely Natalie Benegs.
Oh, Natalie.
Yeah, who runs the Kent Creative Awards in association with Ashford School. And that has really grown, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, it has.
And I think there's quite a lot of sponsorship now coming into those awards. And you chaired it last year, didn't you?
No, I didn't chair it. I'm one of the judges.
Right.
Okay, and I'm one of the judges this year. And funnily enough, we were talking about that yesterday. I'm on the board of the Kent Creative and Digital Media Guild. And I was at a meeting at County Hall yesterday, and we were talking about Natalie's award and what a great thing it is for the creative industries in Kent.
And I saw some lovely tweets coming out from that last year. It was a sort of black tie event in Faversham, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was indeed.
And, you know, the table decorations.
They were fabulous.
Yeah, really
showcasing. I tried to nick mine, but they caught me on the way out with it and made me put it back.
Anyway, all of that is leading to the event that's happening on the 19th of May this year. And the deadline for submissions is the 24th of January, so you need to get your skates on.
Get in there
this
quick.
This year really has started with a bang. Lots of things happening in January.
Yep.
So the website is kentcreativearts.co.uk, and you'll find all the details on there. And it's not just creative businesses. I mean, don't think in terms of people that, you know, sculpt, for example, or paint.
Yeah.
You know, web design, graphic design businesses are clearly very creative businesses. So
Architects,
exactly. So, you know, we could go on. So think of it in its broader sense, but it's definitely a growing movement in Kent and something to get involved with.
Fantastic. I've got an email here about Women Work. Friday the 10th of March at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells. This is one not to miss. A full day of inspiration for women and the men who support them from all over Kent will be taking place at the Assembly Hall Theatre, Tunbridge Wells, on the 10th of March. The afternoon event is completely free and full of brilliant networking opportunities and workshops for women, mothers and daughters from every walk of life, giving you the opportunity to be bold, be you and be heard. Tickets for the evening event are £5, with all proceeds to be donated to the Pickering Cancer Trust drop-in centre, showcasing inspiring stories from the front line of life. And you can get your evening ticket by going to assemblyhalltheatre.co.uk/variety/womenwork, or you can go to their Facebook page, which is Women Work Events, or you can follow them on their Twitter at Women Work Events. Bird's speaking at that event, I think. Are you? Twice. She's speaking twice. She's a bit like that. Once she starts, you can't stop her, basically. So she's having two goes at it. And there's see if you get it right. It's not fair talking to her when she can't reply, is it?
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm speaking twice.
Yeah, so you're talking at it?
Only 10 minutes each time. It's very, very short.
Okay. Are you doing your underwear thing?
I am doing my underwear thing. Do women, do you wear matching underwear to Sainsbury's, Martin? What's so funny?
Well, you've put us on the spot, haven't you?
His vest and pants are always coordinated, yeah.
Do you know what? It's a really interesting topic, and it really gets people thinking about it. I know. So, yes, I am talking about that.
Is it? Good. Did you say it was a female-only event?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And me.
You can put your tongue back in then, Paul.
Men can go as well.
Men can come as well.
I'm going.
Right, okay.
It's the men that support these empowered women. Yeah.
I have to say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. Let's move on.
Okay.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, but do get along to that. It's a fabulous event. March the 10th, that's a Friday. There's a daytime event or afternoon event, and then there's an evening event, which has got a small price to it, but the money's going to charity in the evening event.
I am intrigued to find out more. Measley Mafia, there is so much quality networking going on in January, and the ever-popular Measley Mafia Networking is back They're generally in Bromley, Maidstone. There's a new one in Ashford and Tunbridge Wells. So the first one for your diary is the 25th of January at the Warren in Bromley. It's the Chamber of Commerce, Kent Invicta Chamber, that organise the bookings for this now. £20 if you're a member, £21.50 if you're not. So slightly abstract pricing there. But nevertheless, if you go onto the Kent Invicta Chamber website, you'll find out all the information you can book onto that.
I've got notice here of a Valentine's gift from Gillingham Football Club. 50% off executive boxes on this Valentine's Day. Wow. Blimey, they're hopeful, aren't they? That should go down like a storm. Mm. Hello, love. Guess what I've got you for Valentine's Day? A trip to the Jewels.
Oh, it includes food, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's £250 plus VAT for Gillingham versus Chesterfield. Why wouldn't you want to? That's got to be the most romantic fixture in the calendar, hasn't it? Give the gift of football this Valentine's Day and fall in love with the Jills all over again. Enjoy a private executive box and keep out the cold with an executive box you'll get. Seating for 10 people. Your own private entrance to the box. A car parking space. 10 match day programmes. The team sheets. Use of a private pay bar within the box. Food and all kinds of things. If you want to take advantage of this, you need to contact James Knott, who's the sales manager at Gillingham. And his email address is jknott, that's K-N-O-T-T, at priestfield.com. Or you can follow them on the Twitter at GFC_commercial.
Alternatively, if you value your marriage, you may not want to.
Ah, but it could be the wife buying a box for a hubby or partner.
Yeah, just to, anything to get him out of the house
exactly.
on Valentine's Day.
They don't have to go together, do they?
Anyway, you can't take the mickey because I've just invited you to a Supply My Business match day sponsorship package that I've got at Dartford Football Club.
I knew he loved me. It's a Valentine's Day gift from Martin to me. Isn't that nice? Oh, thank you, Martin.
We're not going to be going on Valentine's Day.
Oh, are we not?
But it is going to be good fun. So I'm all up for that. I mean, we can't all have aspirations to have a private box at Chelsea like you, Paul.
I know. I'm happy to go to Dartford.
Right, great.
Cool.
Good. Another network.
And thank you for thinking of me.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I won't tell anyone it's a Valentine's Day present.
There is another fantastic networking event coming up. However, this time we're into February, so this is a definite for the diary. This is one of our Business Bunker supporters again. It's Amanda Flanders. And I know that you're going to be talking at this, Paul, as is the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, Mark Lemesma, and Ali Harold. So this is all about, this isn't just a networking event. This is helping people understand how they can network more effectively. So there is a bit of an educational agenda behind this as well. So it's going to be a cracking day. And it's at the beautiful Eastwell Manor, which I think has just been bought by Champneys.
It has indeed, yeah.
So there might be a bit of knocking of walls, walls coming down and stuff like that going on. I hope not. No. But it's going to be a fantastic event. It's on Thursday the 16th of February. There are various ticket types if you want to schmooze with the important people like Paul Andrews. You can have a VIP ticket. But if you just want to go along, network and have a great time, it's £15. So you can't complain at that. How do you book on? Butterflies and Dreams Events is Amanda's website. Butterflies and Dreams Events. And all the information is on there. And I'm going to that one.
Are you?
I'm really looking forward to
it. I'll talk to you when you're there then.
Fantastic.
Good. Do you know what? I'm going to talk to our next guest now. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back, and we were discussing earlier when he was last on, it's a pleasure to welcome Mr. Kevin Bates of Medic UK Health. Kevin, welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show. We realised it was quite a while ago that you were on. I thought it was much more recent, but you last came when we were still in the Dymchurch studio.
It was, yeah, in the old studio, and what a lovely studio and place this is to be. And
yeah,
thank you very much for inviting me back today.
Absolute
also
pleasure.
Also to Martin for inviting me back.
We are a porcupine-free zone here. Unlike Dymchurch, where we got raided on a regular basis by Fred the Porcupine from next door. So we are porcupine-free here. But welcome back onto the show. Just for those listeners that can't remember, because some of us are getting on a bit now and our kind of memory goes a little bit, tell people what it is you do, Kevin, and how you do it and who you do it for.
Well, my company is a company called Medic Healthcare, and we specialise in private medical insurance for individuals and businesses. And one thing you've a lot of people think is it's a preconception that private medical insurance is expensive. Mm-hmm. it actually isn't as expensive if you look at the market. And being a whole of market intermediary, if you like, what we do is we look at all the insurance providers and their offerings and tailor something to suit the individual or a business based on location, hospital geographics, also the benefits that we can get out of the policy. We look at the underwriting, and private medical insurance is actually a minefield, and it needs to be left to, you know, specialist people that specialize in those areas that can give you the best advice, you know, making sure they're FCA regulated and that you are going to always, always get good advice. It's one thing that we look at, and treating customers fairly is another area which we look at. So once we're compliant, we look at what the client has, whether they have any pre-existing medical conditions that we can bring back into play, or if they have a current policy that they have exclusions, if we can get some of those exclusions lifted. So when we're looking at placing a policy for a person, we'll look at every criteria there is. So we will go into depth with our fact-finding, and we will look at everything. We'll ask a lot of questions. One of the reasons why insurance doesn't pay out is due to non-disclosure. So we make sure we've asked all of those questions in advance so that we can give the client the best advice.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Certainly.
I've had private medical insurance for a long, long time. And although my company has changed, I've never changed the policy. It's just, you probably guess who it is. They keep changing their name every 6 months and getting bought by somebody else or merging or whatever. But I've stuck with it. And one of the reasons I've stuck with it is fear. I don't know what would happen if I changed, if you see what I mean. And one of the things that bothers me, and this is kind of what my question is, yes, if I had an underlying condition, I need to declare that. What scares me, though, is what if I've got a condition I don't know about that I've had a long time and I change my insurance, how does that affect me, if you see what I mean?
I can answer that for you. There's sort of questions, different questions are asked by different insurers. Okay, and we have a thing where we're going to take somebody from one insurer to another insurer, and that may be due to their premiums increasing. It may be that they currently have a no-claims discount and they've had claims in the past and they're seeing their premiums increasing and they want to try and save some money, perhaps increase their level of benefit for a lesser premium, introduce a better hospital list in, introduce some of those benefits into the policy that they didn't realise was readily available. A lot of policies now come in the form of a menu. So we can look and choose and make sure that we actually match that sort of policy to the client. Now, we have a thing called CPME, or no worse terms, where we transfer you over, whether it's an individual or whether it's a business. We look at the underwriting and we will tell you as a broker whether it is safe for you to transfer.
Okay, okay.
And we will also, myself, we get involved speaking to underwriters. We will turn around and relay your information, whatever that medical condition will be, and we will then get a reference which will transfer with you. That means that condition will be covered.
Right.
Sometimes you may have a more serious condition that they can't cover. You know, there may be an exclusion. You may already have exclusions on your policies. You know, many years ago, all policies were written on full medical underwriting, where you disclose to the insurer what you have wrong with you, and it's their discretion whether they want to exclude that condition going forward or whether they want to allow that condition. But what we tend to do is that renewals, we also review the whole and do an analysis of the client each and every year. And what we will then do is we will advise the client accordingly.
Okay. So I guess that's the power of going to a broker, isn't it, rather than just trying to do a, you know, what health comparison website or whatever it is that you use.
You can't work on a health comparison website. The first thing they're
is there even such a thing? I don't even know.
Is your underwriting?
Yeah.
They're not gonna know what policy you have. And what they tend to do is these comparison websites is give you the lowest level of cover. You've almost got nothing on the policy, and it sounds marvellous.
Yeah, we don't cover headaches, sorry.
And then you take the policy out, and you find that you haven't got the policy, which you think you signed up for. It's not going to cover you. It's not robust enough.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, Kevin, you were talking last week when we when we were out networking about some of the new cancer drugs that are coming online that you can access through a private policy now.
Well, we all know with the you know, we're not here to run the NHS down. They do a fantastic job. Let's be honest. You know, they are marvellous, but unfortunately, they're underfunded.
Yeah,
they're understaffed, and things are getting worse. Mm. And the denial of life saving treatment to certain people, it is sad to see.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas with private medical insurance, you have the chance to have those powerful cancer drugs, the very expensive drugs. They may not always work, but at least you've given that chance to be able to have that life-saving treatment, which is most important. Mm.
It, as you say, it's a very emotional subject as well.
Extremely.
And it's one of those things that people... Either you want to buy the insurance or you don't. Yeah, at the end of the day,
yeah.
It is fascinating because I do think, and the reason I'm struggling with this is because I've never gone through this process myself. But the more I think about it, the more obvious it is. It's not something I've ever used. I haven't changed my policy for donkey's years, so I've had the same policy for years. I don't even know what it says. I've no idea what it covers because I haven't looked. I made one claim about 20 years ago, and I've never claimed on it again since either, and that was for something really stupid. So it strikes me that it is pretty obvious that more than any other kind of insurance, health insurance is really something you must do through a broker because it is such a complex field.
Without a doubt. If you've had a policy for many years, you may find that might be out of date.
Yeah, yeah.
It may have... The benefits on there may not be what we're offering today.
Yeah,
you know, new treatments coming through, new facilities, new areas of medical science. You want to make sure that your policy is going to cover you for all those things.
Yeah, because it's interesting because when my policy, you know, nowadays people kind of know stuff. When my policy's coming up for renewal, I get loads of alternative companies that email me and go, oh, we can do the same policy with the same cover for, you know, £10 a month or £10 a year less, da-da-da-da-da. And I go, well, I don't even know what that is. I've no idea. And if you think I'm going to find a policy and read it, you've got another thing coming.
You're not expected to do that.
Yeah.
What we do is we take all the headache out of that and we do all the groundwork for you.
Yeah.
And we can only give best advice.
Yeah.
You know, that we are very heavily regulated.
Yeah.
In private medical insurance now.
And can I just ask, without being too controversial, because this is the thing that kind of people worry about when they go to a broker, how are you funded in terms of how do you make your money?
Well, we get a commission from the insurers.
Yeah.
And if you go direct to an insurer or you come to us as an intermediary, you won't make any saving going direct.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go direct to an insurer, it's a bit like going into a shop to buy a pot of red paint that only sells red paint.
Right.
You need to look and analyse the whole market.
Yeah.
And we will come back and give you an analysis as a whole of market broker. Every single insurer with every single permutation of hospital, excess, levels of cover. And then we will bring something into play that's affordable because it's got to be affordable.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's got to be sustainable for the future. We're seeing policies with no claims discounts on it, and the one you're speaking about will have a no claims discount, and it also has a little sausage dog on the telly, I believe. and you know, we are looking now that people perhaps want, like the NCD, they want to move away from an NCD. Yeah. They want to have an option, and it's all about three things. It's who, when, and where. They're the choices.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to go and see a consultant in your time, which obviously suits you.
Mm.
You want to be able to choose where you go, or you want to be able to choose when you go.
Yeah,
so absolutely. A lot of people will research and find, yes, that's the consultant I'd like to see, and they find something that fits around their working life. And we all know that speedy access to consultancy, diagnostics, and a treatment plan is going to be a lot better for you.
That was my question for Kevin, actually, about the, you know, the choice that you have to decide where... And more, most importantly, I think, who actually does the operation? I had a friend recently that had to have a titanium cage inserted at the top of his spine because he had an issue with his spine deteriorating and pushing down on a nerve. And he researched who the expert consultants were. And through his private medical policy, because it's a very invasive surgery, it had to go through his neck, you know, the front of his neck to get there. He actually identified the consultant that he wanted to carry out his operation because he was a specialist in that field. And that, for me, is incredibly powerful. And that, you know, that's the advantage that that brings.
I'll tell you a really silly story very quickly. Really silly story. Many years ago, I made a claim. I had a meibomian cyst, which is just a, you know, a block cyst. It's not a big deal, but it was on my eye, and it needed to be removed because I couldn't see, basically. So my GP recommended me to a consultant to do that, and I said, I've got private medical insurance. Well, he rang the insurer. They went, yeah, no problem, yada, 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 yada. Anyway, they booked me in at a local private hospital to have this operation done. And when I arrived on the day to have it done, the consultant had gone on holiday. Okay. So I wasn't particularly happy, and I was making a real fuss. You know what I'm like. I was making a real fuss in reception. And this South African doctor walked past, and he went, what's the matter? And I told him, and he went, come in here. I went in there. He went, how much? He said, I'll do it for cash, right?
Yeah.
And he removed this cyst from my eye for 100 quid cash on the spot. Now, that's my kind of thing, that, really. But it's a fascinating thing, Kevin. And I'd never really thought about using a medical insurance broker before. But, you know, when you talk about it, it's fairly obvious, really. It's the kind of thing that you really should be doing. So I know that you've kind of come along with another guest. And
I have. I've made a strategic partnership with the One Hospital Ashford, and we've come as a sort of duo today that we've built up.
Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Channel Radio News Update.
That was my fault. I leant on the keyboard. Sorry about that.
We've built a...
That was Paul's punchline after his amusing story, you know, yeah, in case you missed it. Yeah.
So, yeah.
What we've done is we've built a specialist policy for the local community around Ashford using the One Hospital. So we've got some great benefits.
With the business bunker.
Sorry. Yeah, God. It's the system being silly now. Yeah.
We've also got some extremely competitive prices. Mm. And the One Hospital, which Matthew Kelvey here will be telling you about in a moment, is a place of excellence.
Right.
And why wouldn't anybody want to go to the Ashford One as their first point of call? And what we've done is we've sliced the premiums down but give the most comprehensive levels of benefit for the local community. And this will be there for individuals and businesses.
Right, okay.
And it's an extremely good proposal.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's hear from Matthew now, shall we? Matthew Kelvey, welcome for the first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Matthew. I will try not to interrupt you by leaning on my keyboard. But so, welcome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your organisation in Ashford there and what it is you actually do?
Yeah, hi, Paul. Thanks for inviting me on today.
Pleasure.
It's a really exciting project. We're building 8 hospitals around the country, starting with Ashford. Mm. Ashford's been open 9 months. It's a purpose-built, very modern, high-tech private hospital right next to the William Harvey off Junction 10 of the M20.
So you dash out, people are on their way, and they go, and you go, don't go in there, come in here.
That absolutely. Kind of
thing. Yeah.
Sandwich boards to work.
Yeah, absolutely. sorry about that.
In conjunction with a local firm of solicitors, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Tell us about the rationale behind your group. It's a group of private hospitals. You've got a new hospital in Ashford in close proximity to the William Harvey. And how does one access your healthcare? Is that through private insurance, or do you have... The reason I'm thinking about it is there's a few different models about. I live over in Tenterton, which isn't a million miles, but close to us we have Benenden, which is a kind of strange institution because it used to be the Civil Service Union Hospital, which always made me snicker a bit, is the union had their own private hospital and then told everybody else how we ought to use the NHS. But in recent years it's become just a private hospital, but they have patients that are just members of that hospital, which is a kind of...
The Benenden Hospital that you're talking about and the policy you have is a discretionary policy.
Yeah.
It isn't fully blown private medical insurance.
No, it's so, just for there.
Yeah.
It's like a membership, basically.
Yeah, but it doesn't cover every procedure.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I'm asking Matthew, really, is what the business model, if you like, is of the One Hospital.
Yeah, it's fascinating because St Saviour's in Hythe closed recently, been open for years, fantastic hospital. And our nearest competitor in Canterbury is fantastic. But it's also quite old. It's been around 32 years.
Yeah.
And the local community were crying out for a modern purpose-built hospital. If you're insured and you're paying a lot of P11D tax, you want to be treated in a hospital where you feel like you're getting good value, and you walk in and it feels like a private hospital. If you're self-paying, you're spending £7,000-8,000 on a new hip or a new knee, you want to feel as though you're getting great value in a great environment. And so our model is to provide exceptional care with the top consultants locally in a very cost-effective way.
Okay. So within your hospital and your hospital group, what kind of treatments do you offer? I mean, do you offer absolutely everything, or, you know, is it a set amount of treatments? And the reason, again, I'm asking, one of the other things we have in Kent is KIMS, which is the private hospital at Maidstone, which does oncology and neuroscience and heart disease, and they specialise in what traditionally a lot of private health providers haven't done.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, our view is we want to work with the NHS and complement them, not compete with them.
Yeah.
And essentially, we don't do heart surgery, we don't do neurosurgery. Mm. We do a lot of hips, knees, skin, general surgery.
Yeah.
So a lot of the elective treatments that you go and see your GP and you need to get treated.
The kind of things that people use on a frequent basis, basically.
Absolutely. But what's really interesting, Paul, is that a lot of people don't know this, and it's an interesting fact, is if you go to your GP and you need an MRI scan and you go on the NHS, it's fantastic. You get seen really quickly. The delay comes in quite a number of cases, getting somebody to read the scan and tell you what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a little bit of a challenge when you have your scan, you want to know if there's something wrong.
And especially when they all stand there going, and then they go, we'll let you know, that happened to me. And then they let you know, like, 6 weeks' time.
Absolutely. So with us, we run a really tight ship where you can come in 90% of cases, you'll get your scan and you'll get your report same day. And we also offer one-stop shops for sports injury. So you can come in, see a physio, see a specialist, consultant, have your scan, job done.
If only I'd known about you a few years ago. We had a season ticket at the Kent and Canterbury when my youngest was still at school playing sport. They used to ring me up on a Saturday if we didn't go in and ask me where we got to. We went there so often. Okay. Give me a little. I don't know your premises, sadly. Although I'm kind of fairly local, I haven't seen your hospital. What kind of size are we talking about? What kind of facilities?
Yeah, it's a good size. It's got two operating theatres with laminar airflow, which is the state of the art high air, high clean air technology. It's got a third theatre, so we've got three theatres, 20 ensuite rooms that look like and feel like 5-star hotel rooms with curved ceilings, mood lighting, the works.
Cool.
What's really interesting is if you look around Kent and you look around the UK, a lot of private hospitals are withdrawing from treating children. Mm. So there's a lot of people out there with family policies where they've either bought cover for the whole family or their employer's bought cover and they're paying P11D tax. Mm. And essentially when the children need medical treatment and they want to go private, very, very limited facilities. Mm. So as of next month, we'll be the first private hospital in East Kent that will offer treatment for children age 3 and above.
All right.
So it is really looking to say, what do you want as a local...
It's a family hospital.
It's a family hospital, and it's also saying, what do you need in the local economy in terms of healthcare, and let's provide it. I mean, people have been talking about building a private hospital on that site next to the William Harvey for 20-odd years, and it's really exciting to be part of the team that has finally put one up there.
Absolutely. And at the moment, is it one group? Is that what it's called?
It's one healthcare.
One healthcare. Yeah. Is one healthcare... Do you only have the one... facility in Kent?
We have one facility in Kent and we're out the ground in Hatfield and emerging quickly. The other thing that we're looking to do in Kent, which is really exciting, is to be the first hospital which says to local employers, if you look on the website and you look at the facilities, come in and meet us. It is absolutely exceptional in terms of the fit out. Why wouldn't you choose it as your preferred hospital, providing we can do that treatment? And so we will offer a limited cash back for treatment undertaken in the hospital, if you write to your insurer or you contact your intermediary and you say we want to use you as a preferred supplier. And that's the first time it's happened in the UK, as I understand.
You know what I'm like. I'm a bit irreverent about these things. I was immediately thinking about the options for bog off. you know, buy one, get one free type of thing, you know.
Well, knees and hips.
Yeah. The hip's gone, I'll have a knee as well, you know, buy one, get one free.
We don't take cash, though.
Yeah.
I had a question about, you know, going back to what we were talking about with consultants. If I went onto your website, for example, we're not just talking about having access to consultants who are resident in the hospital. We're talking about presumably having access to consultants that do private work as well as NHS work across the whole of the country. Is that right or not?
Yeah, in East Kent, a lot of our consultants work in local hospitals, either the Kent and Canterbury, Margate or the William Harvey on the NHS, but also do private work. For part of the week, and they may work in a number of different hospitals. When we set up, we thought we would get 65 consultants. We've ended up with 137 that are actively working at One Ashford because of the exceptional theatre and the fact that it is so modern and easy to work in.
Right. So, in other words, hopefully I'm going to be able to find the person that's just right for my particular needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good. Cool. I mean, I have a friend who's a consultant. He's a hammer and chisel guy, so knees and hips. Yeah. And you know, his view is, and I was with him at Christmas. His view is that the NHS is on borrowed time, frankly.
Mm.
You know, just looking at his time in theatre and how booked he is. I mean, he is booked months and months and months in advance. And if he takes a day off sick, which of course he never does, the whole system implodes. You know, stuff needs to be rebooked.
Without getting too much into it, the whole problem, as far as the NHS is concerned, is it's an incredibly emotive subject in the UK. And people are very poor at thinking their way through problems. And when you talk about the NHS, the vast majority of people think of two models, free at the point of use or the hated American system.
Mm.
Of course, they never bother to look that, according to the World Health Organization, the UK NHS is currently the 18th most successful health service in the world. And the number one is France, Germany, Norway, Singapore and places like that. Mm. We never look at alternative health provision.
Mm.
And there's a whole raft of different provision types across the world which don't involve purely private medicine or purely government-run medicine. A lot of them are free at the point of use, but they're not run by the government, and that's the difference.
Mm.
And we need to have a much more grown-up debate because this NHS issue is never going to go away. It's one of those things that no matter how much money you throw at it, you still can't solve everything. Mm. You know, the population's growing, the population's aging, technology changes. You know, you talked about new drugs coming along. People are always going to be developing new drugs. They're always going to be expensive in the initial phases of new drugs. NICE are going to go, you can't afford that. So the problem's never going to be solved, ever, while we have the structure of service that we have. And we need to grow up and have a debate about the structure, not whether it's privatised or publicly run, about the structure of how we do it.
I think that's totally valid. But also, I mean, just out of interest, I went on the internet this morning before we came here, just to look at the Obamacare program, for example, as it's been kind of nicknamed. But, you know, although a lot of people were very vocal about, you know, their opposition to that before it came in, the fact is it's actually put healthcare within reach of 6 million people in the US.
It's been scrapped.
Well, that according to Trump, it's going to be scrapped.
It's already going through the Congress. Well, yeah, they're scrapping it.
But the reality is it put healthcare within the reach of 6 million people in the US, you know, disadvantaged people that otherwise wouldn't have been able to access it. Mm. So, and it was all about ultimately making private healthcare much more affordable. So
there's a lot of myths about American healthcare. For a start, I don't know if you know, but the federal government in the US actually spend more on public health care, free public health care, than we spend on the NHS. Now, they're a slightly bigger country, but that is a fact that public free at a point of use health care in the US has more funding than the NHS, obviously based on the fact that they've got 400 million population and we've got an 80 million population. But yeah.
But I mean, going back to what Simon was saying earlier, you know, procrastination is the enemy here. Mm. You know, everybody talks about it. Mm. And instead of talking about it and how, you know, and what the problems are, what we actually need to do is do something about it.
Absolutely. But for me, the thing is about having a debate about the structure of it. it isn't just a debate about money, as far as I'm concerned. And there is, I'm not in favour of privatising the health service because I don't think that will fix the problem, because you're just going to take it, you're going to take the problem and just move it. And the problem isn't entirely about money. It's about structure, in my opinion. And that's what you've got to look at first and change the structure of it. And then if you really want to do something radical, then fine, but you don't really need to. But coming back to you guys, because this is really interesting about private medical cover and private hospitals that we do already have that offer a level of service that people want. You know, again, for me, it's one of those things that is a benefit to the health service because it frees up resources. Yeah, if you've got private health cover and you go to a private hospital to have that done, because years and years ago, the difference was with private health cover, you still had it done in an NHS hospital. It's just you paid for it and you got slightly better sheets or whatever, maybe. But that's changed radically over the last few years.
Totally changed.
Yeah.
One thing we could start doing is trying to educate the government into giving tax relief on private medical insurance, relieving the burden of the NHS. You know, it's so short-sighted of them.
Yeah.
We help companies reduce their premiums, therefore reducing their P11D benefits, which makes all their staff happy. But it really needs addressing at the top and start giving some tax relief if you are taking responsibility for your own healthcare.
It would make sense. But I think the biggest change, and I think this is where it now may be more likely to address it, is back in the day, 20, 30, 40 years ago, really, it was a bit of a con because you took out private health insurance, which gave you access to quicker healthcare in an NHS hospital, basically. And that's what a lot of people didn't like, that you were kind of buying favours. Now that we have organisations like One Healthcare that provide their own hospitals, it's a completely different kettle of fish. You're not taking resources from the health service.
No, in fact, we very much support the NHS in a number of ways. Mm. A couple of weeks ago, when A&E was queued back and there was a real shortage of beds, we took a couple of patients over who were probably well enough to be discharged but had social care issues, and put them up in the One Healthcare. And what is interesting is both those people that came across had medical insurance and they'd forgotten to use it. And I think there's a number of people, as we speak, that are actually inpatients that could transfer out to private hospitals, but they actually forget they've got the PMI in place.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you about A&E, actually, because, you know, you don't have a traditional A&E operation in your hospital, do you? I mean, you don't have an A&E department. But what you've just described is a great example where, you know, there could be a public-private partnership to alleviate some of that pressure, particularly at certain times of the year. And one of the biggest pressures is, you know, people are queued up on corridors because there simply isn't a bed available. Well, if there's a bed available down the road, then, you know, can't there be some kind of collaborative effort?
It's interesting. It is interesting that there are some private A&E hospitals in the UK now. In London, Manchester and Leeds, there are private A&E hospitals and there are private A&E ambulance services available. They tend to be quite expensive and they tend to be the exclusive use of the incredibly wealthy, obviously. But one of the interesting things is, if you look at the German healthcare system, which is number two in the world in terms of its efficacy and its cost to the Germans, and the German government, the federal government, spend more on German healthcare than we spend on the NHS. But the way that they operate, it is totally different to us. Their system is very GP-based, and most GP practices are actually large clinics. And A&E is actually handled by GPs for the most part, unless it's really, really, really serious, you know, dodgy stuff like brain surgery. Most things are handled by GPs, not by hospitals. Mm. Completely different setup. And therefore, there are lots more A&E and trauma clinics and fracture clinics and things like that spread all over the countryside. Whereas if you look at the NHS at the moment, here in Kent, they've shut down A&Es, and we now just have the William Harvey, really, that serves the whole of, you know, a huge population of Kent.
You're right. I mean, I grew up in Hampshire, down in Fleet, and my local hospital, A&E Hospital, was actually the Cambridge Military Hospital.
Right.
And, you know, about 15, 20 years ago, that got closed down. Yeah. But, you know, so what are you left with? You're left with a massive trust, you know, hospital, like a William Harvey or someone like that. There is no, there's no other route, is there, to go down?
Absolutely. This is a huge, huge topic in general, talking about healthcare. But talking to these two gentlemen about their part in it is fascinating and interesting. Sadly, we're running out of time. So first of all, Kevin, let's hear from you. If people want to find out more about getting you to help them with their medical insurance, how can they do that?
They can contact me. My Twitter handle is @MedicHealthUK. They can email me on info@medichealthcare.co.uk or email me direct at kevin.bates@medichealthcare.co.uk. Or they can pick up the phone, find my website and give us a shout.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And those details will be found on the Kent Business Radio website and they will stay there in perpetuity so that you can always look it up and find out more about it. Kevin, thank you for that.
You.
Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew, if I fancy a new hip and I want to come and see your hospital in Ashford, how do I find out more about One Healthcare?
Yeah, great. Thank you. If you go onto our website, onehealthcare.co.uk, or tweet us at onehealthcareuk, would be great. And we give quotes within 2 hours.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
I think you guys are also... sorry, Paul, just to butt in very quickly. Are you guys also going to be running an open evening? Have you got something on the agenda for February, maybe March time, where you're going to invite people along to kind of have some canapes and have a look around the place? Is that right?
Absolutely. When people come and visit One Healthcare, they then choose it for their treatment. And so we're hoping that the open evening will entice them to select us as their preferred supplier through the new One Health plan via Medics.
So have you got a date for that? Is that in the diary? Or
it won't be long now. We just need to decide on a date. Good.
As soon as you've got that, if you let us know, then we'll publicise that and we'll certainly come along and have a nose around. And I'll bring my resident nurse with me, Bird.
You're not hard to find either, because you are actually right next to the William Harvey almost.
Well, believe it or not, this is one thing we were saying with Matthew, that not a lot of people in the local area actually know there's even a private hospital there.
I didn't know. I live in the borough of Ashford. I didn't know. There you go. So now we do. And now does everyone else.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. We've still got loads of tweets, loads of emails to read out. Have you got anything you want to share with us before we go on to the FSB news, Martin? Or are you not ready? Should I do something?
I'm sorry, Paul. I'm not quite ready.
No, it's typical. too much time talking and arguing. It's time to make a nomination for the 2017 Kent Women in Business Awards. Now in its fifth year, these awards have become an exciting event on the business calendar. Your nominee will be contacted within 7 working days to be informed of their nomination, and the celebration will take place on the 3rd of March at the Great Danes Hotel in Maidstone. If you want to nominate yourself or nominate somebody else, if you go to Quib Awards, K-W-I-B, quibawards.co.uk/nominations. So there you go. I would nominate someone, but I'm judging, so I can't.
Right. I've got a long... Some of these are quite difficult to read sometimes because they are quite long.
Okay.
But you may well
keep
know...
Keep it short.
Well, I'll try. You may well know about this. The Kenwood Trust. Mm-hmm. So the email is entitled Climbing New Heights for the Kenwood Trust. And I believe the Kenwood Trust is a program for young people. And it's all about obviously raising money to support young people with, for example, drug rehabilitation programs in the community. So I believe they're going to be climbing, the challenge is called Mount Toopkal. The Mount Toopkal Challenge, which I've never heard of. But I'm a guess it's in North Africa. It's a 5-day
summer. Oh, it's in Morocco, isn't it?
Is it? Okay. I've not been there. It's a 5-day summer ascent of North Africa's highest mountain. And they're looking to raise funds to support that. So it's all about ultimately supporting young people and their rehabilitation into the community following problems with drugs, alcohol, etc.
Fantastic.
So very worthwhile getting behind. The website is kenwoodtrust.org.uk.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters. Riverford _Kent, they deliver vegetable boxes and provisions right across the county, made up to your specification of your organic needs, both vegetables and meat, I do believe. And if Jules is involved, there's probably a bottle of Prosecco in there somewhere as well.
We also had a tweet from Terry Botfield, who is another guest that we've had on the show previously. There is a charity race night happening, Paul, in your neck of the woods. Again, it's on Friday the 3rd of February in Tenterden. Now, What sort of racing would that be? Is it, have you got a greyhound stadium or horse racing? What have you got there?
Sorry, I missed that. What was that?
In Tenterden, there's a charity race night, 3rd of Feb.
It's horse racing.
Horse racing. You've, yeah, you've got a horse racing track there.
I think it's one of those videoed horse racing things.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. All proceeds going to EK Motor Neurone Association. Mm. The best way to find out more is to contact Terry, I think, directly at TDBotty. Is Terry's Twitter handle. So that'll be a video racing night held in a golf club or something, I would imagine.
Cool. I've got a few tweets that I need to read out here. A couple of people are having a go at me about my NHS rant. Mm. Victoria Jones has said, William Howe is not the only A&E in Kent. No, you're absolutely right. There's Tunbridge Wells and Medway Hospitals.
We've got the Queen Elizabeth Queen Mother in Mark 8, yeah. Big one.
Yeah, A&E hospitals they're talking about. Yeah. No, absolutely. I kind of was referring to this area of Kent rather than, you know, because it was Maidstone and Canterbury that they closed. But yes, there are other A&Es across Kent. And there's actually some very specialist hospitals as well, if you look at the maxillofacial unit at East Grinstead and stuff like that as well. Fiona from HR Services says, I'm discussing things loudly with you and your guests, although you can't hear me. It's a very emotive subject. Mm. It is very emotive, and that's the problem, that we've got to stop being emotional about it and start being practical.
Exactly.
I'm afraid. Yeah.
And it's unfortunately, the emotion gets in the way of
it does,
taking
yeah.
action, doesn't yeah. it? Because nobody can agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is not to make the decision before you've discussed the practicality. What tends to happen is you get a load of people to go, privatise it, and a load of people say, no, don't privatise it. Mm. That's not those kind of decisions are way, way off. What you've got to do is discuss what it is you're trying to do first and then look at the best way of doing it rather than come up with a solution and try and implement it.
Yeah. What's our vision for it?
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't get the impression there's any kind of talk about that taking place, do you?
Cool. We've had a tweet from Tenterton Twilight. I've got 370 more tweets. I'll read a couple of them in a minute. Go
right.
for it.
There's a fantastic initiative taking place with the Friends of the Wisdom Hospice. And what they're doing this year is anybody that wants to raise money for the hospice, they're actually giving them £50. And the challenge is for you to turn that £50 into as much money as you possibly can. And obviously you've got to give the £50 back. You can't go and have a night out down the pub. You do have to give the £50 back. But obviously what they want you to do is raise £1,000 on the back of that £50. So actually Nicola, who was on last week, I think Paul is getting involved with that. But also Dandelion Social, who've been on the show before.
Yep.
So that's Richard and
Lucy
mm-hmm. Torbal. Are also doing their own £50 challenge.
They're doing an auction in Faversham.
They're doing an auction in Faversham. Mm-hmm. So it's at the Alexander Centre in Faversham from 7 p.m. The date is Wednesday, the 22nd of February. Paul, I believe you're actually
the auctioneer
on the
evening.
Indeed. So no doubt some of these lots are going to go for lots and lots of money.
You better believe it.
Richard is a photographer. He specialises in headshots, so there'll be an individual headshot session. They also specialise clearly in social media management. So Lucy will be offering 3 months' worth of social media management for your business, bespoke social media strategy and development. So there's all sorts of very practical things that you could use in your business. So get yourselves along to that. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of February, hosted by our very own Mr. Andrews.
Looking forward to it. We're kind of fast running out of time here, so I've got to rush through this. I'm not going to get a chance to read all your tweets. I will read this one, though. Victoria Jones, Hesketh Jones, Ed, ED, Hesketh Jones, Ed. Paul, can I have a mention for Hesketh Jones editing, please? They're proofreaders for all. HeskethJones.co.uk is their website. Do check that out. And now it's time for
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that point late in the show where we bring you a roundup of news from the Federation of Small Business. Coming up, they have some events on the 18th of January. It's the Secret Pantry in Tenterton. On the 26th of January, it's the old fire station, Tunbridge. On the 7th of February, it's Women in Business Brunch in Dartford. On the 8th of March, it's International Women's Day Conference. And on the 5th of April, it's the Bank of England Roundtable. and the 11th of May is Kent Vision Live. You can find out the actual details of all of those times, dates, booking by going to the Kent Business Radio website and click on the FSB tab. But we have got some more details here to read out.
Yeah, and you don't need to be an FSB member, by the way, to get yourself along to those events. They're also doing another, there's another fantastic business awards coming up. The FSB have got together with Worldpay, the payment gateway provider. The entry for these awards closes on the 17th of February. They are a national awards, but obviously at sort of local regional level. So there is one for the Southeast, for example. There's all sorts of categories, Business and Product Innovation Award, Micro Business of the Year, Business Exporter of the Year. The one thing you can guarantee on the back of this is that there'll be a huge amount of publicity for your business should you get through to the finals. There's a gala dinner that takes place on the 10th of May in London. Tim Campbell of The Apprentice will be hosting that. So, and I believe there's a cash prize also of £2,000 available. So fsbworldpayawards.org.uk is the website, or you can have a look on Supply My Business. It's
thank you. We're almost out of time now. We've got quite a lot to do, so I just want to rush through these last two things. There's a cybercrime information workshop in Canterbury with JJ Systems. Jackie Offin, David Muggeridge, Laura Upton are speaking at that. It's at the Innovation Centre Canterbury. That's on the campus of the University of Kent on Thursday the 16th of February from 4:30 in the afternoon. It is completely free to attend. And if you want to go, if you email jackie.offen, O-F-F-E-N, at jjsystems.co.uk. All the details can be found on the Kent Business Radio website. And on the 27th of January, the FSB are running a 30-30 programme with Lee students ready to pass on your business advice. That's with the students from the Lee Academy on the 27th of February. I'm sorry to have to rush through this, but we have completely run out of time. It just leaves me to say a massive, massive thank you to today's guests, Mr. Simon Chapman of the Alternative Board, Kevin Beattie of Medic Health UK.
Kevin Bates.
What did I say?
Beattie.
Did I?
Yeah.
Change your name. Kevin, I'm so sorry. Kevin Bates of Medic Health UK. I thought he looked at me funny, and I thought, I got his name of the company right. It's just his own name wrong.
We'll let you off.
Yeah. Mr. Matthew Kelvey from One Health.
Thank you.
My co-presenter, Marvellous Martin White, and the absolutely gorgeous Bird, who is the TV producer and executive producer of the show.
I'm glad you got that the right way round.
Absolutely. Coming up on the show, we have... at 5 o'clock, the lady's favourite, Mr. Craig Avery.
You're listening to Craig Avery on Channel Radio.
At 7 o'clock, we have... Seven till nine, 18 tracks of unsigned, new and up-and-coming music with Mr. Jamie Andrews. And that is followed at 9 o'clock by our comedy kind of music show from the 60s, 1967. I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, which is mostly music with a little bit of funny stuff thrown in, focusing on the year 1967. And then, as always, on Channel Radio on a Tuesday night, we finish off at 10 o'clock with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two.
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always on Channel Radio, we finish off with Mr. Boy George and the Culture Club Culture Show at 10 o'clock. So do stay tuned for that. But thank you for listening to the Business Bunker Show for another week. I'm sorry if we didn't read out your email or tweet. We will catch up with you next week. It's getting busier and busier every week. Huge thank you to all my guests. Have a fabulous week, everybody. And we will see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.